All right. Lynn's beat me here. John Hay.
With, I think, is it mince and carrots and veg just folded up? It's it, do you know what it's like? It's like a pastry calzone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Calzone. That's funny. My calzone is Spanish for underwear. So when I told my when I took my wife for a restaurant, I'm like, I want a calzone, a sausage calzone. She's like, she didn't know what to think.
she thought it was some sort of kinky underwear. Okay. Well,
yeah. Speaking of that, another linguistic issue: what pasties are here in the United States, you guys, are stickers that strippers put on their nipples, often with little tassels on them.
Again, we come back to you divided by a common language.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm so
glad
that on my wool right now.
Yeah, yeah, that's what we think of when we see that. Scoff pasties.
I can only imagine what people watching this on the replay are thinking right now.
It's a linguistic translation education.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's what I love about this group. That's what I love about this group.
We're diverse.
So, yeah, the diversity is the key. I'm actually, you know, all these books I've been reading from such a diverse thing, I've decided once I redo my website and maybe even in the map classroom, I'm going to put like a recommending reading list instead of being a bunch of business books. Like all of these books that I'm reading are contribute to what, to my business, to my understanding and how my, you know, a lot of it's like brain thought self-improvement stuff. And a lot of it's, and you know, like biographies and even like astrophysics, I just got one I just got. But that's the stuff that's really given me a lot of breakthroughs with intelligence recently. So I'll put together a recommended reading list for that.
I saw the one you were reading yesterday, Carlos. You were talking about...
Neil Tyson deGrasse?
Yeah. Astrophysics for People in a Hurry?
Yeah.
Oh.
I actually studied astrophysics I studied astronomy for a year.
Right on. I took one astronomy class in college and didn't like it.
I got stuck with the Elvish script. Sorry, I think they were called functions. But it started with a big F. It looked like it was written in Elvish.
Totally.
So I gave up at that point.
Yeah. That's where I got. So I was glad, you know, we got to look at the, we got to go in the observatory a little bit, but mostly we just sat at these computers and looked at these crazy equations, and yeah, I couldn't really get past that. So cool. Well, I was I got three scripts dictated today for the map 2.0.
yeah,
I'm on the time management module, so I did one about the four time management principles. One about the fifth principle to rule them all, which is live life. Make sure you have time to live life. Work your work around your life and some tools to help with that. And then eliminating distractions. So progress is happening. It's finally starting to pick up some momentum. I'm psyched. I had readjusted my schedule to be the end of October, but now I think I might be able to get it in September if I keep up the pace that I'm at. So, and all of this has to do with working less hours, walking more, reading a lot more, and being and empowering myself with the energy and presence to really focus during the 6 hours that I do allow myself to work today. And I was just mentioning that as this was coming up, I was just finishing up today's email, but it's not really today's email. It's for 2 days in the future. What you've noticed, I've actually gotten out two in a row. This week I've been kind of faltering the last while, and what I did was I wrote one on Monday and one on Tuesday because I did half days those days since I didn't go camping. But instead of sending them right out, I scheduled it for Wednesday and then Thursday. And the one I wrote yesterday, I scheduled for tomorrow. The one I write today, I'll schedule for Saturday. So hopefully, it seems to just for whatever reason kind of got me into an easier mindset instead of feeling every day like, oh, I've got to get one out today. It's like, oh, I've just got to get one done. There's already one going out today. Plus the feedback I get throughout the day from the one that did go out kind of animates me to follow through on that. So hopefully with that, giving myself a little bit of a lead strategy for that, I'll be able to be more consistent with it. So that's cool news. What else did I want to say? Yeah. If I think of it, I'll think of it. So, John, what did you win this week?
What did I win?
Yeah.
Let's see. You know, I'll tell you, I got to do a better job of documenting the done items on the battle plan. I think I have everything set up for Wednesday's release. I went on my WordPress and I went on my WooCommerce. I got the booster thing installed. And I went through Matt's tutorial on how to set that up for the pay what you want thing. And so I set up a product on my store that's the birthday bundle that I'm going to direct people to, that has the four songs on there. So I think I'm ready. I guess I probably need to just buy it myself and test it and make sure that it works first, which I'll do, you know, sometime between now and Wednesday. But other than that, just been kind of plugging along. This was a unusual week for me because I got some more gigs coming up with a different cover band. They're asking me to play because their other keyboard player bailed on them. And I have two friends that play in this band, and this is the third time they've come to me asking if I'll play. So it's extra money, which I'm going to use to finance my original music career business.
Right on.
So I figured, what the heck? So I had to spend a lot of time Monday and Tuesday listening to songs, charting them out and all that. So wasn't able to work a whole lot on other stuff. I should probably, I'll do a better job of documenting my wins from now on to share with you guys each week.
Cool. Well, that's definitely a win. You know, just, you know, sometimes you have to shift what you're working on, but one of the, I'll give you a preview. One second here.
Sure.
So my newfound, I've always have been passionate about reading, but getting back into it it's great for the map because I'm incorporating a lot of ideas into it, but it also is not great because I keep thinking, like, I keep finding stuff at the last minute to add in. So it's always like, oh, there'll be something I'll learn later that I want to add in. But something I just read in yesterday's chapter that I read from The Art of Nonconformity that I included in a lesson I recorded today, mm-hmm. Has to do with when to say yes and when to say no.
Yeah, that's important. So I guess the win is taking that on, because it's one of those things where once I go through the core songs and get them, the ones I don't know charted out, it's not like I have to ever do that again. Right. So it's a little bit of ramp up time, but then, you know, I've got several more gigs with this group between now and the rest of the year. So now that that's done, the rest is just making money.
Right.
Showing up for the gig and getting paid.
So this, yeah.
And I managed to also, so the win is doing that and still being able to maintain my business. I haven't done any outflow as far as like following any new people, but I still make sure that I answer my Twitter messages every day. And I've got still my scheduled tweets going out like I'm supposed to. And, you know, other minimum system requirements to keep things going. Plus, you know, getting things set up for Wednesday's release. Cool. So, so that's a win.
That's a lot of wins.
That's a win.
That's like 7 wins, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So now it's just a matter of seeing how this all plays out. Either it's going to be a raving success or an epic fail. And hopefully somebody's besides.
It's most likely somewhere in between.
Somewhere in between, right.
Be somewhere in between.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that I'll be happy, because this is the first time I've ever tried something like this, where, you know, doing the intrigue and the build-up and then finally, boom, with the release, like we were taught back in the launch summit, this is the first time I'm actually getting to do this. And I'm just hoping it'll be a win for me if somebody besides my mom actually buys the thing.
Cool.
That would be a win. That would be a win.
So it'll count even if I buy it?
Huh?
So even if I buy it, that's a win?
That's a win.
Cool. So I can pretty much guarantee you a win at this point.
Yay! All right. So we'll have something to celebrate next Thursday.
I'm stoked. I'm looking forward to it. What songs are going to be on there?
I'm going to put Don't Tell Me and Keep On Playing are going to be on there. And two new ones. The one that is, it's called Ain't Too Old to Rock and Roll. That's really the one that I'm releasing to coincide with my birthday.
Right on.
And then another unreleased track called The Girl I Once Knew, which I gave people a sound clip of in an email a couple of months ago.
Right on.
So these are definitely like subscriber only goodies.
Cool.
Yeah.
How many subscribers are you up to?
220.
Right on. Cool. Well,
we'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Keep it moving forward. You know, it's not a big numbers, but what matters at this point is, you know, the kind of response you get to what you put out. You know, your super fans will start stepping up, and you start getting some good feedback on what you're doing.
Yeah, I had a fellow musician friend of mine, as a matter of fact, just yesterday, gave me a huge validation on my emails. She and her husband are like way far ahead of me in the game because they've been doing it longer. I mean, they do tours all across the country and even overseas doing house concerts and coffee shops and art galleries. And, you know, they're an acoustic duo, so they do all those kinds. That's their type of shows that they do. But she's also very savvy and kind of, they've been building their business kind of the same way that you teach it. And she's like, you know, even though I understand the psychology behind what you're doing, I think it's great. And I think you're doing a great job with having not only the strategy, but building the relationship. So that was pretty good validation from this individual who I really look up to.
Cool.
So I must be doing something right.
Right on, dude.
Yeah. So there's another win.
Yeah.
Right?
Wins abound. There's always something to celebrate. I do that in my journal every single day. At the end of the day, I have something that I celebrate. And sometimes just getting out of bed, you know, is my celebration. You got to find something to celebrate and something to be grateful every day because there's always something worth doing. Even if it's something you've done 1,000 times before, if it was particularly harder for you today, celebrate it. You know, you got to celebrate the small wins. That's what keeps you moving forward. And then the big wins come along.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't spend enough time documenting the wins. I think I'm going to start doing that too. I'll get a little journal book by the bedside table.
Yeah, just pick one thing each day. You know, it's an easy habit to build up. It takes a minute. You know, you don't have to overthink it, or you can spend an hour writing in your journal if you want to. But, you know, for me, that's cumbersome. But I can easily think of one thing to celebrate every day.
There you go. That's Stevie P's one thing.
Yep.
Right?
Cool. Well, do you have any questions or anything else you want to talk about?
I do. Yeah. So this is, you know, just as much for the hive mind as it is for you, Carlos. So I in the past, there was a company that I got involved with in like 2011 or 2012 called Afton. And what they do is they help people, they help musicians with booking shows. And so I did a couple of shows using them, and it's okay. The thing about it is, you know, they want you to sell a minimum number of tickets, right? So the first show I did, it was easy to meet the ticket requirement because it was my first show, and I was able to sell people on the novelty of, hey, come see my first ever show in Nashville, right? But then since that time, I've had a difficult time meeting the minimum ticket requirement on these shows. Even when I was doing it when I had a full band a couple of years ago, sometimes the band members wouldn't really do much as far as contribute to the ticket sales, and we would fall short on our commitment. And if you don't meet the ticket sale requirement, then you don't get paid. So I've been approached.
But you don't have to pay them back for the tickets you didn't sell?
No, you don't have to pay them back. You just have to sell a certain amount of tickets or you don't make any money in the show.
Okay.
So, I haven't done any shows with them for a while, and every now and then they'll approach me, and I'll usually turn it down because I don't consider that I have a good enough following in Nashville to be able to get 20 people there, even though that's not a large number. I know it's not a large number, but I don't know that I have, you know, 50 to 100 fans in this area to where, you know, that a percentage of those people will actually come, right? So I got an email from the rep, the regional booking rep for that handles our area the other day, asking if I want to open for a nationally touring band that's coming around. And I looked them up online and listened to their music on Spotify, and it's pretty good. And I think my music would fit well with them. But, you know, then I get that pit in my stomach when I think about the ticket thing, and I don't know. And they have some good strategies on their website that they suggest of how you can get, you know, fans. And some of it is along the same ethos of what you're teaching in the class and everything like that. And, you know, offering an incentive maybe was one example to, you know, bring a friend and you get a free sampler CD, you know, that along that line. But I'm still real leery about the ticket thing. I just kind of want to see what everybody else's take on this is and what suggestions, you know, I don't know. I just wanted to throw this idea out. You know, so, you kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I've heard a lot of mixed reviews about Afton. I've heard
that. Me too. Yeah.
So I'm sure you've heard a lot of the same stuff. So I was under the impression that it defaulted to pay to play if you didn't sell the ticket. So since you're not, you don't actually, they make you, they, since they don't make you actually buy the tickets you don't sell, that's not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah.
But still not necessarily good. But I mean, what these shows that they do, they're not, are you headlining or are they shows of mixed audiences or how many people actually even do come to the shows?
In the past, they've been just mixed. There was no headliner. It was just a lineup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody sold, every band or artist was responsible for selling tickets, and that's was the audience. So it was kind of like every band brought their own people.
So they don't really do it. And that's kind of one of the things I've heard about them. They don't really do their own promoting. They put that all on the bands.
Right. This particular show, they're looking for an opening act. So, the headliner is this band called Sherwood. It took me a while to think about it. Sherwood is the name of the band, and they're looking for, and they have a tour going out to various cities, and I guess Afton is helping them book opening acts in the different cities that they're going to appear in.
So this particular arrangement, which is different than their normal arrangement, is more appetizing for me, because mm-hmm. Sherwood may have their own audience.
Right.
So it may be worth it for the exposure, even if you don't make money.
Okay.
The whole bunch of people on a lineup that everyone is responsible for selling their own tickets. That's kind of how they do it in Seattle at the High Dive. I recorded there for like a month straight, and okay. Really it was crap. Like hardly anyone showed up. Like 10 people would show up per band, show up for their band and then leave. So it's like there was no, you know, no interplay, no building off each other's audiences. It wasn't good. And that's kind of the way the normal thing is with Afton from what I can tell. But I would say this particular show might be worthwhile. What do you guys think?
I was just going to say, if you've been approached by them to do the warm up act, surely that the onus is on the main headlining band and not on you. I mean, it's their show, not yours. So why would you feel that you have to start selling tickets as well? Or have they told you you have to sell tickets?
It's part of the artist agreement contract. If I accept the show, then I, you know, have to commit to selling the tickets. Now there isn't there. I looked at the agreement yesterday. There was an option for me to, I could select, I promised to sell between 0 and 19 tickets. I could select that if I want to, but I wouldn't make any money. The only way I get paid is if I sell 20 tickets or more.
How much you get paid if you sell 20 tickets?
$3 per ticket. So I'd get paid $60.
Oh, so it's per ticket. Okay.
Yeah. So if I sell 20 tickets, I would make $60 on the show.
How long are you playing for?
Just going to ask that.
Sorry.
That's a good question. In the past, when it's been like a multi-act bill, like where everybody's like equal, we get between 20 and 30 minutes to play. For this show, I honestly don't know. That might have been in the agreement and I might have missed it. I'll have to look or ask Amy, the representative, to find out how long the opening set is supposed to last.
And this is all your original music?
It would be all my original music, yeah. I know, it's kind of iffy.
Yeah.
You see?
So I mean, the last concert I went to that had an opening act, they played for about 40 minutes. So if you're only getting $60 for 40 minutes, it's not a great rate.
Right.
Well, to me, it wouldn't be a great rate, said the person who's actually not getting paid for doing any gigs at the moment, but there you go. Yeah, I would clarify, first of all, how much you're going to get, how long it has to be.
Yeah.
Like, if it's only half an hour, $60 is not bad. But again, the onus is on you to try and sell the tickets. And do you think you're going to sell the tickets?
Well, what I've experienced in the past where I've run into trouble is I get so stressed out about meeting the ticket requirement that it's not fun for me to prepare for and then do the show because I'm too stressed out about making sure I sell enough tickets.
What are the details of the 0 to 19 option?
I think if you select that option, then you just don't get paid.
But what if you then happen to sell more than 20, but you've ticked that box? Are you then opting, are you automatically opted in for the payout then?
Maybe. I'd have to ask.
It's probably a good question because it takes the stress off you. But then if you actually do sell more than 20, then you could get the payout anyway. But
yeah.
And also you're stressing about, I understand why you would be stressing, but you're stressing for it not a huge payout. Is the main act your genre of music? Like, would you like as Carlos was saying, would you get any more fans because they like your genre or?
I think it's possible. Yeah. I mean, they're kind of like they're rock, but they're a little poppy, and I think I have some songs that would fit well with what they're doing.
So.
Yeah, you can sell merch.
So I would like to know more details about the difference between the options in the agreement, because it seems like that shouldn't even really be an option. It, like Lynn's described, if you sell 0 to 19, you don't get paid. If you sell 20 or more, you get paid the $3 a piece. That shouldn't really like an option you have to choose between. It's whatever, however you end up, many you end up selling determines that. So I'd like to be more clear on that, but ultimately, this is one of those gigs that I wouldn't really look at as an income gig so much. I would check out this band's tour, their profile, see if they have like pictures on Facebook from their other shows that they've been playing. See what kind of crowd shows up. And if you do decide to go with it, use it as an opportunity to grow fans. So do a great show, take a bunch of CDs, sample of CDs, and as soon as you're done playing, spend the rest of the show trading them for email addresses.
It's a good idea.
And stickers or whatever.
Yeah, I got my fancy schmancy sticker suitable for framing. Right?
Cool. So the stickers are cool, but I would just burn a bunch of CDs, samplers to just give away and get the email addresses that way, because you're going to meet a bunch of people that weren't there for the opening set. Oh, right. You missed me? Well, here's here you can actually listen to it. Let me get your email address, and if you decide you like, and then I'll put you on my list. And if you decide you like it, we'll keep in touch. If not, just unsubscribe. But okay. here's the CD to up front. So I would use this. I would first kind of see what kind of determination you can get about what kind of crowd might actually be there, and then really capitalize on that as a meet and greet. Email list growth opportunity and not worry about the money so much.
Fair enough. Okay. I'll see if I can pull up the agreement while we're on the call here and give you guys some details while the other folks are.
Yeah. If you can pull that up, we'll screen share and we'll all look at it together. And
oh, cool. All right.
That would be cool. That would be great for the replay. So
I was just going to ask, do they have a Facebook page? And if you go into the page, can you see the kind of numbers that are in your area? that are fans of theirs. You know, the way, say, you can go into, say, Schwilly and see who's in Ireland or see who's in the UK. If you go into the band's Facebook page, can you do a search for Nashville and see roughly how many people might be potentially turn up?
Probably. Let me work on that while we're here. If I pull up a web page, do I disappear from view?
No, not unless you're screen sharing. What's the name of the band again?
Sherwood is the band.
As in Robin Hood and the forest.
As in where Linz lives?
Is that where you live?
Yeah.
Sherwood Forest.
So wait a second. You guys can still see me? That's funny.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. It kind of looks like Taylor Swift frontlining it.
Yeah, that's not accurate. I checked that out. Yeah, that's them. Yeah, it does look like Taylor Swift is holding their album.
Oh.
That's their album.
Oh.
And they mocked it up like Taylor Swift is holding their records. So,
I see. All right. So yeah, check that out. We'll come back to you in a second. What did you win, Linz, this week? Other than some new words, double meanings of words.
That was a big win. I've been similar to John, but getting ready for some gigs that I like pitched for. But it's just I think I told you the other week about the food festivals that are going on near me. So I thought they only wanted me for one day. They want me for two, so that's double payment, which is awesome. So I have been practicing the last 3 days just to make absolutely sure that I'm giving them a rock solid set, because they go and do various different events around the country. So if I could get in with those, then that would be quite useful.
Make sure to burn up a bunch of, like I said to John, burn up a bunch of CDs to give away and trade for email addresses. Those sorts of fairs where there's lots of people, you can make a lot of personal connections.
I have a question about Bandcamp, if people know much about this. But so my EP is on Bandcamp and it's in the welcome funnel and people are buying it and that's awesome. But I noticed somewhere that it said, I don't know if it's per like EP or single, whatever that you upload, they give you like 100 codes for free that you can either sell to people at gigs or give to them, depending on what you want to do. I just wondered if anybody knew any more about it. Has anybody heard about this?
I have. I don't know the details, but that sounds about right. I didn't think you should have to buy them. You should be able to give away your own stuff if you just generate the codes.
Yeah, the reason this is kind of random, but the reason why I looked it up is because Twitter, this is another aside, another win, has gone a bit bonkers. Well, for me, it's quite bonkers because Jason's awesome app is working like a blinder. So I'm struggling every day to keep up with messages, and I'm not complaining because that's awesome. But a couple of people on Twitter have been like, hey, can I get your autograph? And I'm a bit like, yeah, but like, I haven't told them. I don't really have any merch yet because I'm like right at foundation stage. So I looked at Bandcamp thinking, I wonder if I can send them a postcard, like, you know, the desktop thing that I give away in the exclusive digi bundle. I thought I could get some postcards printed off, which is relatively cheap, sign it, and then put a code on and say, go and knock yourself out and download my EP. And then if they like it, they share it with their friends, whatever. So that's why I was looking into the Bandcamp codes and why I found out about them. But I was thinking, if I've got these gigs at the weekend, I don't have that much to give away there yet, apart from like business cards, but I want to like share the music.
I love that postcard idea. I fucking love it.
Oh, awesome.
I love it. but you don't necessarily need to go to Bandcamp. You can put the file in a Dropbox folder and create a QR code that you print on the back of it. So they can just scan the QR code with their phone and it'll take them to your Dropbox folder where they can just download the album from there.
Okay, where do I get how do I make a QR code?
I will give you a link right now.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I am one of those people who I don't really use CDs anymore. So if somebody was to give me one at a gig anyway, or try and sell me one, I'd be like, nah, thanks. Have you got a download anywhere? So I don't want to send them to Spotify because I don't get much from that. I don't really want to send them to Bandcamp because I'm ultimately want to put it on my own website. But where I am right now, Bandcamp is where they get my music. So, and I'm going to be playing. I'm supposed to be doing covers, but obviously I'm going to play my own music as well. So I figured that would be a good way to hand out my music. If people want to make a nice donation, then they're more than welcome to. But thank you very much for the...
Yeah, I love that. I love that idea. QR code, you just go to that website. I put the link there. And you just basically put in the link. So upload your album to Dropbox. Create a share link, just click share, and then a thing comes up and it says create share link. Copy that link and attach that to the QR code that you generate, and just print and then print that on the postcards that you print out.
So actually what I could do rather than give the whole EP is actually on the QR code link to my exclusive Digibundle, couldn't I?
Even better. Yeah, skip that.
Do I get that email that way? I don't get that email that way, do I?
No, but you can link it to your Squeeze page. Link it to your Squeeze page.
Boom.
Here's an autograph. Scan this. Put in your email address. You'll get the goods.
That's quite funny as well.
Here's and we'll keep in touch. You know, people that you meet in person are going to be more interested in keeping in touch that way than even people that you meet online. So... cut out all the middlemen and all the barriers. Go right for what you want in the first place. If you're going to give them something, give them the bundle, get that email address, give them that QR code to make it easy. Blam.
That's the badger.
Uh-huh. And then, when is this? Is this this weekend?
Well, yeah. So I've got this one this weekend. In October, I've got another one at Nottingham Castle, which is going to be awesome. And I've also got a wedding coming up, but I can't really sell at a wedding because that's just not tasteful, is it?
I've seen it done. Badgers, we don't need no stinking badgers. No,
have you not heard that phrase before?
No.
Why would I?
You're
welcome.
next week, and the other thing, I do it that way. If people want to just give you their email address, have a paper handy so that you can do that and even skip the postcard if you want. If they want, if they're willing.
Yes.
Have a paper and pen handy. Write down the emails yourself. Don't let them do it. Because you can read your own writing, I would hope.
How many people type in their bloody email addresses incorrectly as well onto your bloody Squeege page? I'm like...
Yeah, that happens. So write it down yourself. Have those postcards to give away and tell them they can scan it. And also, when you give that to them, say, if you want... you can just give me your email address and I'll take care of it for you. So have both options available because the people will love the postcards. That gives them something to take home and something to put on their desk and look at you every day. So even if they do just give you an email address, still give them the postcard because you want to be in their visual frame of reference.
Yeah.
I love that. And then next week, tell us how many you got.
Okay.
So you'll have some homework on that, but that'll be awesome. Take selfies with them. Take selfies with them to share in your group and on your page and tag them and tell them to send you a friend request.
So here's another quick question, Carlos. You are in America. In the UK, people are way more reserved. They, if I even talk to them from the stage, they go within their bodies, they shut down. Like, it's not like it is with you guys. So what else do I do?
This is a great opportunity for you because if you bring people out of your shell, out of their shells, you'll have such a huge impact, not only on their that present moment, but on their entire lives. So act more American. Sure, some people will cower in. The ones that cower the most, make the most effort to connect with them directly and that will have the bigger impact for them individually if they're able to open up a little bit. So, you know, I know everybody says that it's different over here and yes, it is, but people, that's why you guys love Americans. You know, those of you that do.
Yeah.
Not all of you do, but the ones that do, they're like, oh, they're so open. They're so not reserved. So these are the people you want to try to connect with that way, because you'll connect them with them on such a deep level. The ones that are going to shy away, not much you can do about it. But if you if you can kind of open up some flowers, you'll have a huge impact on people. What did you want to say, John?
Oh, my hand is up because I – back to what I was asking you guys about. So when
Lindsay, oh, you got your thing? Okay.
Yeah, cool. I got some information. We can do a screen share when.
Cool. Well, let's. Yeah, we'll get back to you in just a second. Then, did you have anything else you wanted to ask about, Lindsay? Or you got your homework squared away?
No, I got my homework. So this the QR code. I need to get the HTTP from the squeeze page and translate it into this QR code and put that on as a sticker on the back of a postcard, right?
Yeah, when you pull up the link I gave you, and I'll include it in the replay, there's just a place where you put in the URL. You put in the URL, you click create QR code, it gives you a little square. And
sweet.
It's super easy.
Sweet. Thank you. That's awesome.
All right. Sweet. All right. Well, we'll get to you first, Elaine, before we come back to John. What did you win this week?
I have a couple of wins. Do you remember you sent an email out a couple of weeks ago about the importance of
getting... Oh, cool.
actually, right, I'll forget about the email for a second. The soundtrack is nearly finished. It's nearly scored. I'm actually on the last track and it's about 40 minutes long. So I will have that in the next couple of days. So that means then that John is going to get his digital copy and Tim will get his digital copy at the weekend. So hopefully that'll be done. So that's win number one, is I've managed to get an entire soundtrack written in 6 days.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I'm actually pretty impressed with that. The other thing, yes, the email that you sent out about, I think you were at a concert and you were saying the importance of being able to go and take credit cards. So it was on Facebook. It arrived today.
I've been looking into this one. Is it SumUp?
Yes, and it was half price.
Yeah.
So go for it. So it has just arrived today, and it's set up on my phone and everything. Not that I'm going to be using it, but you know when you get these cheeky fuckers coming along going, oh, if you can't take credit, I only have my laser card. I only have my debit card. Isn't this such a pity I don't have cash on? I can now go.
Not a pity at all.
And in fact, it's actually Wi-Fi. It's near field contact as well. So it's the touchy thing on it as well.
Cool. What company did you get that from?
SumUp, SUMUP. They have a European base. They have a base in Ireland. I presume they have a base in the UK as well. So, yeah, and it was ridiculously easy to set it up on the app on the phone.
Well, I got something like that too, called Square.
It's probably a similar thing. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got Square, and also PayPal has one now.
I looked into PayPal, Carlos. I think in the, because I've noticed on another webinar or lesson that you were doing, you saying that, oh, in the US it's free for PayPal. You just contact them, but it's definitely not in the UK. So that's why I was looking for other options.
Okay. The machine is not free.
No.
The machine, it's about 90 euros. So I presume it's about 80 quid sterling. But it was half price, which is the reason. I was literally only thinking about it last Friday on the way home. The next thing pops up on the Facebook feed, and it was like that half price, so I got it for 48 euros.
The transaction fees also look okay.
Yeah, they're 2.7%.
What is it for you?
2.7%.
Oh, it said 1.95%.
Yeah, that's sterling, whereas I get screwed over because I'm in Ireland.
Ah, I see.
And
Worldpay charging £239 plus VAT just for the machine, and then you have to pay 195% on top
of
it.
So I'm looking at PayPal's website right now, and they have one that's kind of like the one Elaine just held up, and it does the chip cards too, and that's $79. And they have one that's just a little triangle that you plug into your phone, and that's $15.
They have a little thing that you can swipe the card along the side as well. You know the old magnetic strip?
Uh-huh.
So there's three methods of taking payment on this. There is the, you know, the Wi-Fi connection. I don't know, do you guys have that over there yet, where you can just hold your card up against the machine and it hits the transaction?
I can wave my phone at the machine.
Yeah,
on some
I do
phone.
That with my phone as well. And you can also swipe using the magnetic strip, and it also is the chip and pin.
Cool.
It means that the person can actually put the pin in as well if needs be. So, yeah. So that arrived today.
Oh, you got it. Awesome.
So yeah, so I guess I saw it somewhere where that one was for free, but right, I guess where I'm looking now, it costs money. But $15, you know.
I think it's a bit like when you're buying computer printers, that if you go for the cheapy yokes, the toners that go into them are ridiculously expensive. Whereas if you go for a slightly more expensive printer, the ink cartridges are much easier and much cheaper to buy, so there's going to be a trade-off at some point.
So I mean, I would figure you make your $15 back in a single show if you got a credit card reader. I go to shows all the time. I would love to. I don't carry cash. I try to make a point to sometimes, because I don't like to be that guy that tells you how, you know, like,
oh god, I only have a card, I'm really sorry, I'd love to buy your stuff, but
yeah, no, but that's really true when I say it. But or I scold them and say, I would love to give you a bunch of money right now, but you're not letting me. Oh, and here's another thing.
I have no excuse.
Here's another thing. One a Shwoli band I saw recently did at a show. They said, well, we'll take PayPal. Just open up your PayPal account and send it to this email address. So you can do it that way, with a little talking through it, which I hadn't even thought of before. Yeah. But having the swiper just is way better. That's how I ended up doing it for them. That was able to give them something.
It feeds into an email I got literally 2 minutes before we came online, and it is full confirmation that the concert is going ahead in Waterford next March.
Sweet.
And absolutely delighted to do it. And again, it's for, you know, mental health charity as well. So the only thing is I'm only doing the concert for mental health charities. If somebody wants to buy the CD, it is all mine.
Cool.
So it's something like similar to John's thing. I won't be making money, but I will be doing it for exposure. And it's, again, it's for a good cause and stuff like that. So, yes. After John's suggestion last time about the Reverb Nation subscribers, I discovered I had 70 kind of clean people. Somebody has just recently jumped off, but they've started getting the funnel emails. Now, I've only got about 17% open rate, which is still not bad, I suppose.
70? That's pretty high.
One seven.
That's fine.
It's average.
Yeah, so it's kind of normal. So I'm not doing too bad. So if that's the case, I am now up to about 100 subscribers. Yay!
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, the other thing is the amended proof copy, which two of you have gotten already of the book. And yeah, I decided not to go for that job application as well. I was talking to a cop at the weekend, and the cops are in serious shit over here, so it's just too much of a political hot potato, and no. So, and it'll fuck up all my artistic stuff, so yeah.
Yeah, you've got quite a lot on your plate right now anyway, Lane.
Just a tiny bit. a bit. So yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm kind of chuffed over the soundtrack. Literally finished the last track before we came on.
Cool.
Yes.
Looking forward to getting to that, so I can tear into the book with all its misspellings and I'm kind of dyslexic, so it'll probably all look right to me.
Actually, it's more the grammar check, when we were running it through the grammar check, seems to have this fetish for commas. So there's a lot more commas in it than there should be. So I'm going back and sort of fixing bits and pieces. So like I said, as soon as it's done, I will send you the cleaned digital copies.
Right on. Well, commas, how I know to stop. For dramatic effect.
Yeah, but there's a lot of cases where it's actually more the William Shatner pause for effect rather than the actual.
Right on.
That's awesome. That's
yeah, awesome. Rather than the Christopher Walken, it's more William Shatner. So.
Cool.
Have you never seen that cartoon about the difference between the Oxford comma, the standard comma, the Christopher Walken comma, and then there's the William Shatner comma for the use in talking.
Yes. That's great.
So yeah, it's more William Shatner at the moment than it is Oxford.
Right on.
So, can yeah,
I
that's...
ask a question about your soundtrack, please, Elaine?
Okay.
So, because I haven't had this reading IMAX experience before, how is there like a piece of music per chapter, or do you just listen to the whole thing straight through? I'm a slow reader. The music's going to finish before I get to the end of the book.
I was going to say, ask Carlos, because he has experienced the IMAX, so.
Yeah, that's what worried me at first, because I'm a slow reader, too, and the soundtrack's like 40 minutes. It takes me a good, probably 10 hours at least to read it. So, yeah, I just listened to the soundtrack on repeat. Even though the titles of the soundtrack may correlate with some of the chapters or some of the ideas.
It's really just an overview of...
Just put it on repeat, play it the whole way through, and then repeat the whole way through, and just as you're reading, just have it on. So you don't have to overthink it.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of this concept before, and I just love it.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
I just have to render it into my, like, I've scored it all, so I've done all the, it's strings mostly with timpanis and some tubular bells and stuff and that in it. So the way I do it is I write it in a score, so John will appreciate the whole kind of it's scored out. Then I export it as MIDI, and then I import it into my DAW, basically. And I have a... Aria Garrison, so I have a VST that's plugged in. I assign all my different instruments to it, and then I start adding, you know, super duper little sound effects and stuff like that. So that's literally my step by step process for writing music.
Sweet.
Cool. So you use Finale?
No, actually, I don't. I use, believe it or not, it's free. It's pretty good. It's called Muse Score.
Oh, I'm familiar with that. Okay.
MuseScore, and it's dead easy to use. And you can I have the keyboard, piano here beside me, and it's really, really easy to just click in and out of the different instruments and just literally note for note on the keyboard, and it prints it up onto the screen. So.
Cool.
Yeah, and you can even do guitar tab and everything on it as well, Lindsay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Now, I don't know about plugging in your guitar, but you can certainly plug in your keyboard if you know the chords that you're playing, and it'll convert it to a tab if you need to.
Oh, that's quite interesting.
I'll talk to you about it after if you want.
Okay.
Cool. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to ask about or talk about, Lane?
No, I haven't really been doing Jason's Twerpy, as we're kind of calling it at the moment. Twerpy. And I'm just still trying to keep up with some of the conversations I'm actually having with people, but it's just because I suppose I'm working what 8-9 hour days as well as coming home and trying to do this stuff as well. I'm finding it a little tough to try and keep up with what I need to do. And I'm still getting all these weird and wonderful, you know, US generals who are so lonely and, you know, really want to talk to me and be my best friend, and for fuck's sake, fuck off, you know. How do you tell them to fuck off? And it comes back to the whole culture that we have over here is, you know, we don't want to be really rude and go, you know, nice try, dude, fuck off. Whereas like, oh, that's very nice, thanks very much, no, I'm really too busy, you know. We're too polite about these things. I think in an instance like this, we need to be more American.
Put on like an American alter ego.
Pretend you're from New York.
Yeah, do the accent too, because it'll make it feel more like a different.
Like totally, you know. Like totally just fuck off, dude. Like you're just like totally just in my face, like, you know.
Yeah, like that.
That's more totally. LA, by the way.
Yeah, that's kind of Valley girl.
I watch way too much American TV, and it's all Californian stuff. So it's a bit like... Lindsay, it's a bit like David Tennant doing the estuary English.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You'll get that, yeah. See, and the two boys are looking at us going, what the fuck?
I have to write that in there.
I have no idea what that
means. I have no idea what
estuary English is based. Have you seen Doctor Who?
I've heard of Doctor Who.
Yeah. Oh,
God. Philistines.
I don't watch the series, but I'm familiar.
It's basically, it's a contrived... English London accent to make it more acceptable. So somebody like David Tennant, who has an absolutely beautiful Scottish accent.
Yes.
I'm getting wet just thinking about it. Sorry. he has this amazing Scottish accent, but you will find that when he's speaking in an English accent, it's like me trying to do what I consider to be an American accent, which is actually Valley Girl, or it's Californian. So it's, you know, it's that kind of cultured, learned accent that people seem to think is London, but it's actually not. It just makes, it's a part. It's a vocal part, but yeah, I'm not explaining it very well, am I?
Well, my wife just called me. It's about time to pick her up, but I don't want to end this without getting back to John and his thing.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do that screen share real quick.
Yeah, I had a story I wanted to share with you guys real quick, too, which is actually it's relevant to the map and what we're trying to teach here. So I went to this show on Saturday night. I found out about it last minute, and I was excited to go. It's a group called the Lister Brothers. They were originally a group called Street Corner Symphony, which is an a cappella group. They were on a show a few years ago called The Sing-Off, and they've gotten together to record some music with instruments and stuff like that. And I heard them on the radio last year, found out they were doing their CD release party this past Saturday, and so I went, and there was them and two other acts. One of the acts was a girl named Lee Brigham Nash, who was formerly the lead singer of a band called Sixpence None the Richer, that you might remember from the 90s. And then another band called The Daybreaks. The whole show was great. But when it came time for after the show, like I hung around because I wanted to meet these guys and all this stuff. And the only person available to talk to was one of the members of the Lister Brothers. I couldn't find anybody else. None of the other acts were out in the crowd looking to meet people. There was hardly any merch table to speak of whatsoever. It was like I left disappointed because the only thing I could get was either a Daybreaks t-shirt, which I didn't really want that. I would have been more interested in buying their CD, but they probably didn't sell it because they didn't want to step on Lister Brothers toes because it was their CD release show. Lister Brothers wanted $20 for their CD, which only has 7 tracks on it. And I thought I might pay 10, but I don't know. I left there kind of feeling like gypped.
Wow. It sounds like some missed opportunities there.
For those bands. Yeah. Like, I was like, it's like there's nobody there to capture email addresses. They, you know, it was like they missed out on everything that we teach people.
Yep.
So.
Yep. That's kind of one of my.
The message is do what Carlos tells you to do.
Yeah. That's one of my kind of larger goals, as I was kind of talking about yesterday, looking for that $100,000 client. Like, if I can get a hold of one of these bands, it's already achieved this larger level of success that without applying this stuff and really teach them these principles, they can amplify the amount of money that they make. You know, they're already in a huge position to capitalize.
So, yeah. Yeah, these groups were good. They could have capitalized big time, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Lister Brothers had people there that bought into their Indiegogo campaign, and like they got their reward for either they got the CD or they got their backstage pass or whatever reward level that they picked. And it wasn't a ginormous crowd either. So I don't know. I mean, I think they missed the boat on some of this stuff. But
yeah, sounds like it.
That's what makes what we do here so important.
Yep.
I was just going to say, though, as well, that usually the most scariest thing that you really don't want to do is the one that Carlos tells you you have to do. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you want to do the screen share, I don't know how do I do that?
There should be a button.
Yep. Yeah. Go share screen. Okay. So, select a window. Okay. All right. Here we go. So, I couldn't find on their Facebook page where you go to see how many fans they have in Nashville. I'm not sure where to find that.
You can actually type in, let me try it. In the search bar, Sherwood fans in Nashville.
Okay. And I didn't know if I have to like their page to be able to view their band page or not.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it may not be as easy. Let's see, people who like Sherwood.
Okay, it was worth a shot anyway, so.
Yeah, it was worth a shot. But I did find a picture of one of their shows from about a year ago, and looked like they had a pretty good crowd. This from says from the last day of tour, July 24th, 2020. That looks like a pretty good crowd right there.
Come on.
So there's that, at least.
Yeah. Of course, that's the picture they're going to share.
Of course.
But yeah, and it looks decent. It looks like,
yeah,
you know, they got a bunch of Facebook followers, which could be bullshit or it could be real. You never know.
But, yeah, I mean, it says they have, if I click on community, it says they have this many likes and this many follows.
Yeah.
I don't know what the difference is between a like and a follow, I'll tell you the truth.
When you like someone, you automatically follow them until you unfollow them. Because you know how you can go to a page you like or person you like and unfollow them without unliking them?
Yeah.
So when you like them, you're automatically following them, which means you're going to get their updates in your whatever in your stream. But if you want to not get the updates anymore but don't want to unlike them. So basically that means that many people have not unfollowed them. So that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's not good.
What do you know about the venue, the size of the venue and stuff? And
so I've actually played at this venue before. It's called The End here in Nashville. This is where I did my first show, ironically enough. It's a small to medium sized venue. It's not huge, but there've been a lot of famous acts that played there when they were smaller, because they have a wall where all acts that have played there before have their name on the wall.
Right on.
In huge highlighting, like neon fluorescent colors. Anyway, so here's the Afton data. This is the intro. So it's like this band supposedly says previous Sherwood tours have had 200 to 400 in attendance. This is a legit nationally touring band. So set length, opener terms, payouts to locals, et cetera, are below. Click the show details button. So if I do that, and this is the pre-commitment form. So here's what it says. Below terms must be followed, and you must pre-sell the number of tickets you agree to have chosen, no exceptions. You will be paid on your ticket sales for the show and any tips your fans give you during online checkout, no matter what.
And it's only 25 to 30 minute set.
25 to 30 minute set. Acts who sell 50 plus tickets may qualify for a longer set. So
here's the one I want to see. If chosen to open, how many tickets can you commit to selling in advance? Keep in mind, the more you can commit to selling, the more likely it is the headliner's management chooses you for the show. Oh, so this determines whether you're going to get picked or not.
Yeah, like I'm not even picked yet. They're just throwing it out there if I want to put my name in the hat. I mean, I would be, you know, I would be fairly excited to open the show. I think, you know, based on what I listened to yesterday and what I see online, it looked like, you know, pretty good match. I mean, they've got a keyboard player. I'm a keyboard player, you know, so they're right then and there. There's something. And their music is, you know, is pretty good. I've got, I think, a similar sound.
So what's the penalty? I don't see where it says what the penalty. Oh, pay is voided.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the radio button you were talking about is the one at the bottom, right?
Right here. So this is where you put how many tickets. And then I can 100% confirm this show if the headliner's management picks me as opener. I agree to sell 19 or less tickets in advance. I think if I pick this. This tour requires a commitment of at least 35 pre-sales in order to be considered as an opener. If you cannot sell that many, then please click I cannot sell enough tickets. If you can sell at least 35 plus, please choose that in the number of tickets dropdown.
So unless there's a financial penalty, I would go ahead and just select 35 and see if you get the spot. If you don't make it, fuck them. I don't like the way they operate their business and use it as an opportunity to, like I said, you know, build that audience if you get in on it.
Okay.
That's what I would do anyway.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Right, exactly.
I don't want the stress of having to try to sell 35 tickets, especially when I only have 220 subscribers and most of them are not in Nashville.
Uh-huh. So, you know what I mean? I would, yeah, exactly. I would check out maybe some local record shops and see, you know, places where they sell tickets and see, hey, do you know this band? You want these tickets to be available for sale here? You know? See if you can kind of make some arrangements on them. You might actually be able to sell the tickets that way.
That's something.
Yeah. So instead of like leaning on all your friends and stuff, you know, find out where you can maybe someone that can help you sell those tickets like that.
Okay. That's a good thought.
Go for the 35. That's what they require. If you get it, cool. And if you don't sell them all, you know, don't stress about it. Just see what you can do to leverage your opportunities like that without stressing about it. If you don't make it, you just don't get paid. So that's fine. It's not like you have to pay them for the tickets you didn't sell. Right. I've seen some festivals that operate that way, and man, that pisses me off.
What the rest of you guys think about all this?
It depends what you're hoping to get out of it, I think.
Yeah. Any thoughts, Elaine?
All right, so everyone that's watching the replay, hit John up and let's talk about it in the group in the student lounge. Tim does not like how their business operates, and I don't particularly either. That's why I don't have a lot of moral weight to fulfill their requirements. I don't feel that bad about kind of taking advantage of them if it doesn't work out, because they're obviously taking advantage of musicians in general.
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about it. But let's hopefully people will watch the replay and we can continue this conversation in the student lounge.
Yeah, that would be helpful. I mean, I'm still kind of have mixed feelings about it. I think I don't know. It's kind of a toss up.
Yeah, I'd like to get some input from the other musicians in the group. So I'll make a point to mention that when I post the replay.
Cool. Yeah, that would be helpful because, well, just it would for anybody else that has worked with Afton now or in the past or is currently being.
And if you could take a screenshot of the contract itself and share that as an image in the group so that we can initiate the conversation, you know, even without people having to watch the replay, which hopefully will anyway, I think that would be really good. Go ahead and provide the context and share a screenshot of the contract so everybody can look at the whole thing and those terms and let's continue this discussion.
Okay, that would be cool.
Cool. All right. Well, let's see here. Go ahead and end the screen share.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. This was a good talk.
Cool. I think it'll some interesting stuff will come out of this. I don't want to leave my wife hanging too much. Sure. My pregnant wife at her grueling job. So I'll go ahead and we'll end it here, and I'll see you guys next week, and I'll let you know when the replay's up. But go ahead and John, feel free to get that conversation started right away.
Okay, will do. Thanks, guys.
All right, talk to you later.